A Florida man is accused of assaulting a manager with a Bible on Easter Sunday. Trash from the International Space Station lands on a house in Florida. A 10-year-old Florida boy is accused of selling his dead father's gun at elementary school. And a Florida couple was having sex on the sidewalk in front of a Popeyes. These are the weird stories for Friday on Weird AF News, and they're all from the state of Florida, our favorite place. Am I right, guys? This is Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast in the galaxy, and the only daily weird news podcast that does Florida Fridays. That's right, all the weird news from Florida. Let's get right into it. A Florida man assaulted a manager of a Walgreens with a Bible on Easter Sunday. This is a very pious Florida man, just trying to bring religion into his crimes. We have here a story out of Clearwater Beach. A Florida man arrested after he allegedly whacked a Walgreens manager in the face with a Bible on Easter Sunday. This is just a good Christian trying to spread the word of the Lord on Easter Sunday. That's the day that you should spread the word of the Lord. He chose a strange way to spread the word of the Lord, smashing someone in the face. It says whacked. That's the word they chose. Whacked a Walgreens manager in the face with the Bible. You guys familiar with Walgreens? It's like a pharmacy, CVS. Peter Owens is the name of the Florida man, 35 years old, just celebrating Easter Sunday the way a Florida man should. He was arrested and charged with felony battery after this incident unfolded at Walgreens, according to the arrest affidavit with the Clearwater Police Department. Florida man Owens went to Walgreens to buy a pair of headphones. And while he was at the Walgreens, that's right, you're like, can you get headphones at Walgreens? I thought it was a pharmacy. Yeah, you can get headphones. You can get tackies, Cheez-Its. You could get all kinds of stuff. So I think you can buy a sex toy at a Walgreens. It's like a tiny mall. The Florida man was going to buy some headphones and spend his Easter Sunday, I imagine, just listening to self-help videos, as a Florida man normally does. But then he got into a verbal altercation with a store employee about the headphones, probably because they were locked up for too long. He was waiting a long time for the... You know, you go into these stores like CVS and Walgreens, and when they sell items that cost a little more, like headphones, they lock them up behind glass, and you have to wait forever for an employee to come over with the keys. You ask the regular employee, hey, can you open this? They're like, oh, I don't have the keys. Got to get the guy with the keys. And then they have to go get the manager. Who's got the keys? Come and get the keys. And then you're standing there for 15 minutes to buy headphones. It's like, hey, Walgreens, why are you selling headphones in the first damn place? It's very, you know, it's just... If you're going to lock them up like that, just don't even sell headphones anymore. What are you doing? By the way, buying headphones in Walgreens is stupid anyways. You pay way more. Just go to an electronics store where they don't lock them up like that. You don't have to wait 15 minutes for someone with the keys. I ain't got the keys. Come over. Let me get someone with the keys to open this up. It says here, following the verbal altercation regarding the headphones, still doesn't say what it was about. The store manager asked Mr. Owens, the Florida man, to please leave the Walgreens. That's when Owens decided to use his brown Bible to strike the manager in her face before leaving the store. Just smacked her in the face with a Bible. Can you imagine? Police were able to find and take Owens into custody, thankfully. He told the police that he hit the store manager with his Bible because, quote, she was being rude to him, adding that, quote, he did not mean to hit her. All right, now check this out. The next day, April 2nd, Florida man Peter Owens arrested again. Listen to what he did. On April 2nd, he allegedly stole men's shoes and a box of Cheez-Its from a Walmart. You know, from a guy carrying around a Bible and attempting to apparently walk in the footsteps of the Lord, he seems to commit a lot of crime. Thou shalt not steal is in that book, sir, that you're carrying around and that you like to hit people in the face with. Yeah, it says so in Cheez-Iticus chapter 9. Cheez-Iticus, because he stole Cheez-Its, guys. Hey, a Cheez-It addiction is nothing to laugh at, okay? It's no joke. Those white cheddar Cheez-Its are to die for. They really go great with a bag of meth, I find. Space debris falls from the sky and lands in Florida. Florida is just a trash magnet, it seems. Mostly white trash, but in this instance, apparently, space trash is all the rage. This metal is believed to have come from the International Space Station, so it's nice to know that NASA is using Florida as its landfill. NASA is now investigating what went down in Florida after a sizable chunk of metal. What, sizable? Tell me the dimensions of, I want to know. Sizable compared to what? If it fell off the space station, your definition of sizable might not be my definition of sizable. It's a chunk of metal believed to be part of a discarded battery from the International Space Station. Apparently, it crashed through the roof and two stories of a house in Florida. Ooh, this is wild. I hope nobody got hurt by the space battery. Kind of disappointed that it was a battery. I was hoping it was a space toilet or some sort of space bidet. That'd be pretty cool. Some sort of homicidal space turd that fell from the... fell from the exhaust of the ISS. And we have engineers for the American Outer Space Exploration Agency in this story. They're analyzing this cylindrical slab, which weighs about 2 pounds, and it tore through the home in Naples in the afternoon. 2 pounds, it's not very heavy. It doesn't sound like a sizable piece of space debris to me if it's only 2 pounds. I think I got an apple at my home that weighs more than 2 pounds. We have a quote here from the homeowner, apparently, Alejandro Otero. He says, quote, "It was a tremendous sound and almost hit my son. He was two rooms over and heard it all. Something ripped through the house and then made a big hole on the floor and on my ceiling. Oh, boy." Oh, this is rather disappointing. I was hoping that the space debris landed on Ronnie D's lounge chair while he was in it. Jonesy, that's so mean. Just kidding. Poor Alejandro. But thankfully, it did not strike his son, this object. The scientific journal Ars Technica said the most likely explanation is that this chunk was from the space station. It noted that the U.S. Space Command recorded the reentry of a piece of space debris over the Gulf of Mexico on a path towards southwest Florida just 5 minutes before Otero's Nest home security camera captured the sound of the crash. Hey, maybe let people know that space debris is heading for them if you're monitoring it. NASA, what is the deal here? It's just like, here it comes. They're watching it fall and they don't let people know. I'm out. I don't understand the alarms that we have in our culture. They make no sense. Every time it rains, we get a flood warning on our phone, basically. Even if it's only raining a little, still get a flood warning. I'm never involved in floods, yet I always get the warning. So, okay. But now you got space debris falling and nobody gets a warning? It just seems like ridiculous. Here's a quote here from Alejandro, the homeowner in Florida. By the way, I wonder if his homeowner's insurance covers space debris on the policy. He says, "It used to have a cylindrical shape, and you can tell by the shape of the top that it traveled in this direction through the atmosphere." Wow, Otero knows a lot about space debris. A NASA spokesperson, Josh Finch, told the media that the analysis was taking place as soon as possible to determine its origin, although some space experts believe they already know the answer. Yeah, it sounds like they already know the answer. They were monitoring it. Guys, come on. There's a lot of space trash up there. Eventually, it's going to come down and land on our faces. So if you could just monitor that and give us a text message when it's coming. Now, for this article, apparently they reached out to the European Space Agency for a take on this. The ESA monitored the battery during its descent and calculated that while some parts may reach the ground, the casualty risk, the likelihood of a person being hit is very low. Well, so it sounds like people know what it is, where it came from, and when it was landing, how fast it was coming, and yet no one's alerted. No worries. I'm sure Ronnie D is on the case. He's probably going to propose a bill to ban space debris from illegally entering Florida anyway. So I guess you guys don't have to worry if you're living over there. Now, the European Space Agency says that large space objects re-enter the atmosphere in a natural way approximately once per week, with the majority of the associated fragments burning up before even reaching the ground. Most spacecraft, launch vehicles, and operational hardware are actually designed to limit the risks associated with a reentry. Yeah, except for the space trash that made its way to Florida, the poor space trash. We got to save this space trash before it gets humped by a tweaker. I got a question for you. If the trash is white and lands in Florida, how would we know?
Yay!
A 10-year-old Florida boy is accused of selling his father's gun at elementary school. And this Florida boy is a real Florida man in training, apparently. Two 10-year-old students were actually arrested in connection with this event, where apparently a gun was sold at an elementary school. A deputy's son agreed to exchange a handgun, later found to belong to his deceased father, for a sum of $300 at the elementary school to another boy. Wow, it just seems that child allowances have not been able to keep up with inflation. So this boy's just trying to make ends meet. The $20 a week isn't cutting it. Now, as a result of this alarming incident, the Country Oaks Elementary School was placed under lockdown Wednesday afternoon after the sheriff's office received a call about a suspicious incident at the school. Authorities discovered ammunition in the backpack of the boy who purchased the gun. The gun was later found in his backpack under a shed, hidden with a 74-gram bag of marijuana as well. Where is this little boy getting all of this contraband? Well, it is Florida. It's just everywhere over there, it seems. Guns and drugs and guns and drugs. Come on down to Florida. The young boy was charged with the purchase of a firearm by a minor, unlawful possession of a firearm by a minor, possession of a firearm on school property, and possession of marijuana over 20 grams. He'll get more time for the marijuana than the guns, for sure, because it's Florida. Stricter on pot than guns. You can just conceal carry without a permit in Florida, no problem. But smoke a little spliff, man. Oh boy, not in Florida, brah. Right, back to the gun deal at the school, which, by the way, we need to definitely look into what kind of books are in their school library. I think that it might solve the problem. The answer's in the books, guys. Gonna have to ban those encyclopedias, especially the one that starts with G. It says the deputy's son involved in this escapade was charged with selling a firearm to a minor, unlawful possession of firearm by a minor, possession of a firearm on school property, and grand theft of a firearm. Similar charges to the kid who bought the firearm. I got to tell you, this boy trying to sell the firearm and the weed, I mean, the entrepreneurial spirit starts really early with these Florida boys, doesn't it? But it also shows fiscal responsibilities lacking in today's educational systems. I mean, he could have gotten much more than $300 for a gun and 74 grams of marijuana in Florida, in my opinion. So I might want to look into that as well. Oh, and check this out. Apparently, the mother of the boy who sold the gun is a county deputy. She was placed on administrative leave pending an administrative inquiry. Now, lucky her. She gets a paid vacation because she's irresponsible at home with guns. Great. Police officers just have it so good, so good. You could completely screw up and get a paid vacation. Never have I had a gig like that. I would love. What's that feel like? To completely break laws and not get fired? Get a paid vacation? So good. So nice. Anyways, parenting. It's not for everybody. A Florida couple was caught having sex on a sidewalk in full view. That's just called date night, guys. I don't see the issue. True love doesn't ask permission or obey public nudity laws. No, no, no. This took place in Vero Beach. It was a typical Saturday afternoon, it says, just a few days ago in Florida, except a male and a female appeared to be having sexual intercourse on the east side of U.S. Highway 1 in front of a Popeyes. So romantic. Making sweet love in front of a Popeyes because the Burger King bathroom is so 1989, you know. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze me. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. You guys getting the reference here? Okay, I'll stop singing. All right, back to the Florida lovemaking scene outside of a Popeyes. Makes me wonder, does the crackhead sex combo also come with biscuits? Let's keep reading and find out. It says the deputies noticed as they were driving past the Popeyes, a male on top of a female. It says the man on top of the female was kissing her, also had his pants down, and was seen making a thrusting motion while on top of the female. Well, let's keep reading and find out if he was strong to the finish, because he eats his spinach. It's the sex outside of Popeyes, Florida, man. The deputy approached the couple that was on their date night, just having a dinner and a show, identified himself as part of the sheriff's office, instructed the male to stand, at which point the male and female were observed adjusting their shorts. The male appeared flustered and was unable to fully pull his shorts up, which left his body part, quote unquote, fully exposed to oncoming traffic. Ooh, not a sight you want to see. Says here the Florida man, whose name is Arnold, said it wasn't his intention to expose himself and referred to his alleged partner, claiming that he asked her to leave him alone, but she refused. I asked her to leave me alone, you know. Here I am trying to go to Popeyes and get a biscuit or two. I'm like, honey, I want some breasts and some thighs, but not what you're offering. He says she refused. But the Florida man admits that his private parts were in plain view of passing motorists and stated he would apologize to the judge. He remained cooperative, it says, throughout the remainder of the transport to the county jail. But the other party, her name is April Marie White, was reportedly quite a problem. Maybe the guy's telling the truth then. April, our Florida lover, was verbally aggressive towards the deputy, making comments, claiming she did nothing wrong. She then escalated into what would be considered resisting arrest. She had to be escorted to the ground in a grassy area, lucky for her. Responding officers report say that while attempting to detain April, they could detect a strong odor of an alcoholic beverage emitting from her breath. In addition, they discovered 4 empty bottles of vodka and 1 full unopened bottle of rum next to them on the ground. Now, Arnold, age 70, a 70-year-old guy having sex on the side of the road. That's pretty good. You got to say, if you're 70 years old, get it where you can. April's 44. They've both been charged with exposure of sexual organs, and she's got some more things coming her way because she was so resistant and claims that she did nothing wrong. Sex in the bushes next to a Popeyes in full view of the traffic. What's wrong with that, guys? This is how a Florida man reproduces, and conception only happens when oncoming traffic can see it. Day night in Florida, dinner and show. My Florida gal is the dinner and my genitals is the show. We gave the traffic on the roadside something they didn't expect. Me and my gal in front of a Popeyes having finger licking sex. Making sweet love at a Popeyes with a biscuit on the side. Grinding with my gal at a Popeyes. Can't get enough of those breasts and thighs.
Yay!
Hello, my friends and my loyal listener army. I appreciate you spending some time with your buddy Jonesy and the Weird AF News podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't. Be aware that Jonesy does 5-day-a-week news podcasts, and on Friday you get what you just heard, only news from Florida. So that's what you're getting into. Please subscribe, rate the show if you can. If you would like to support the show, you can go to weirdafnews.com, my official website. That's where you can listen to the show, send me a message, an email, and you can support the show by buying Jonesy a coffee or joining the Patreon. Those are 2 ways in which you can support the show. If you're a rich individual, please consider doing so. The Patreon is like buying Jonesy a beer every month. Why wouldn't you want to buy Jonesy a beer every month? I'm really hot right now. I could use a cold beer, so I'm in a place where they frequently have to put ice in the beer to keep it cold because it's so dang hot. So that's another clue of where I'm at, guys, in case you're wondering. I'll also tell you that there's a lot of men in robes, say a lot of Buddhists around here too. Another clue. See if you could piece together where Jonesy is right now recording this podcast. Anyways, I keep the podcast going even while I'm traveling and doing the best that I can. The release times of these podcasts, at least the last one, was a little wonky because the time zone difference, and I wasn't sure when to send it out. So I just was like, I just pressed send, and I just sent it out. So you may have received it at a weird time. I'm not sure. But I'm just going to do the best I can to keep it going while I'm traveling. Luckily, I have portable podcast equipment. So I'm able to do these things while I'm on the road. Those of you who are in the Patreon, you might have seen I posted a picture of my little podcast setup that I have on my colorful bed. So it's nothing sophisticated, but it gets the job done. I'm hoping the quality of the sound is just as good as it usually is, which is probably just a little above average if we're being honest. But I don't really have access to a quality closet, so I'm doing the best I can here. But anyways, I've been getting a lot of messages from you guys, and I really appreciate it. I hope you have an amazing weekend, or you had one, in case you might be listening to this on Monday. And I'm very grateful for all of the Florida Friday stories that you guys all sent me, so thank you. You can always email me, funnyjones@gmail.com. Good luck with your life, man, I guess, and have a great weekend. Yeah, good luck with your life, man. Yeah, good luck with your life.